Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/ghost. We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. And when I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email your audio file to us. Just go to sending it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get those stories to us as we are now, I think we're in full-fledged campfire season of people sitting around campfires telling ghost stories. Or is this how it works now? Are people like, "Oh, I got a ghost story. Here, let me play it for you."
I don't know. Maybe. It makes you wonder if people flag their favorite episodes or whatever for their favorite stories so they know how to find ones that really spooked them.
In some ways, I'd be flattered if it's like, "Oh, hang on, let me play this for you." And in others, I'm like,
"Tell it.
Tell it." Listen to it first and then retell it.
Yeah.
Because that's half the fun of the campfire. And then take the stories that you've heard around the campfire and call them in or write them in and share it that way. Mm-hmm. Interesting way to think about it. And we were the other day, we've never gone camping.
No, we haven't.
Like, ever. Like, we've had campfires, but
I've camped. I've sure. camped a lot as a kid and early adult, but we've never gone camping together.
No. And we're like, And then we were looking at, we were at a barbecue thing the other day down the road, and they had a bunch of RV trailers.
Travel trailers.
I hadn't been in one since I was a kid. And we're like, "Oh, these are interesting. Like, there's a lot of neat things in these now."
Yeah.
And then, like, my fear kicks in of, like, having to navigate one of those things down the road. Like, that to me, I'd almost, like, rather see a ghost than I think navigate a trailer. But maybe that's just because I've never navigated one. The biggest thing I've navigated was like a boat years ago.
On a trailer.
On a trailer. And we were hauling it using a minivan.
Yeah.
Which, it was like almost like Windstar, like minivan, like, you know, the old school. This was like late 90s, early 2000s. And I did horrible with it. It was a giant pontoon boat, too. So it was wide and just, you know, a little bit of wind moved the thing. But is it difficult? Have you ever done that? Have you ever driven something like that around?
I've never driven it.
Okay.
But I've known plenty of people who have done that.
Yeah.
And I think very much if they could do it, we could do it.
It's doable. Yeah. I just need to like attempt it. I need to like rent one or figure out because I before I would ever like invest in something like that, I think it needs to be like, okay, I'm really sure.
And see, I'm already all in. Let's get one. Yeah. Let's get a fixer upper to boot and I'll fix it up, make it cute and we'll take it.
Well, it tells you there's a lot of folks who get one of those. Mm-hmm. And really regret it because you can get them new, yeah. But I was looking on Craigslist the other day. I was just curious, like, what do they go for, you know, used? And there's, like, fairly, like, not that old ones, like, literally a couple years old that are a quarter of the price of what it was new.
Sure.
It's like, oh, okay. So I guess it's probably one of those things where people jump into it and then realize, oh, we don't really use it very much, you know, or they're scared to death of driving it. Like,
well, but here's the thing. Most people don't have the flexibility that we do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I want to first attempt because we have a tent we've never used.
We have a tent.
I want to attempt that. Or are you more afraid of wildlife poking its head through the...
I had an experience as a kid where somebody dumped grease by the tent up in the mountains and you could hear the bear outside the tent and I could hear him like rubbing against the tent, like his big bear butt brushing against the tent. Since then, not been a huge fan of tent camping.
My tent camping experience was in my backyard with my dad.
Yeah.
It was a little A-frame tent. The two of us could fit in basically what was a double bed blow-up mattress. And he snores very much like a bear, probably would. So I didn't actually have a bear, but it did kind of feel like, I can somewhat relate.
Yeah.
But I know we had talked about like going up to like one of the campgrounds around here and attempting to use the tent. But it's interesting. And what are your thoughts on this? And we haven't really talked about this because we sit out on our porch, which is elevated in the evening hours. Mm-hmm. It's outside, but nature is below us.
Yeah.
And almost every night there's like some new critter that we're hearing. The other night we heard a wild boar.
We did.
Right below us. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're camping, that's all right there.
Well, and
right by you.
Tent camping is more limiting because there's no heat or air.
Yeah.
So
that's true too. And it's 90 something.
Yeah. I'm kind of a weenie. I would not go camp in the middle of summer right now in a tent here on the Ozarks.
You'd wait till
fall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is going to end up being some sort of a story in some way, shape, or form at some point. So we'll keep you posted on that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories. Hi, you are on the air.
My name is Brad, and I live in northern Florida. And I wanted to share a story, a series of stories that happened when I was a child. I grew up in northern South Carolina, and our family home was a new construction home. There wasn't anything old about it, just out in the countryside. And as a child, I had this reoccurring nightmare of walking down the hallway of our house, and when I would pass the laundry room, what I could only describe in adult eyes as a gargoyle would jump out and jump on top of me. And then I would wake up. Happened all the time when I was a kid. Didn't think anything of it. I found out years later that my mother also had a reoccurring dream. My father had a job that required him to go to work on Saturday mornings about 3:30, 4 a.m. And my mother said that she lived just in dread of him going to work, because she would have this reoccurring dream, half dream maybe would be the best word, where she would hear someone start walking down our house hallway, roughly where the laundry room was, coming down the hall past everything in the house to her bedroom door, touch and start to turn the doorknob, and then stop and walk the other direction, and then turn around and do it again, over and over and over again, until daylight. Well, I mean, these things happened, and when I was 12 years old, I had a nightmare I cannot explain. In the dream, I picked up the telephone in the house, and there was a voice on the telephone. Someone I've never heard in my life, never before, never since. But it was extremely familiar voice. I mean, it's strangest sense I've ever had. And the voice was laughing, kind of mocking at me. And in the dream, there was this darkness, and I was really scared, and I did what kids do. I ran to my bedroom, and I crawled up in my bed against the wall as far as I could. And pretty much at that moment, I woke up. And I was in the exact same position against the wall in my bed as I had been in the dream. And coming around my door, I have a hard time explaining what it was. Best thing I can call it is like if a cloud of black ink could walk. That was what whatever it was like. And it was coming around my bedroom door. And I lived in the countryside. There was moonlight. There was a security light from the electric company. And it was like whatever this inky cloud was just swallowing up the light. It was very dark, and I could tell it was just getting darker as it came up. And for whatever reason, it just kind of stopped and stood there. I couldn't see any form, any figure, whatever it was. It was just this black fog that you could feel, even though I was 9 or 10 feet away from it. And then it just kind of turned around and went the opposite direction. And within a minute, 90 seconds, it was gone. And I never told my mother I had that experience. Never told anybody in my family that we had that experience. And we moved out of that house about 2 years later. But it's always been very creepy to me, something I will never be able to explain, I guess, how I was having this dream, one, and then how I woke up and everything that was happening in the dream was happening in real life. I really love your podcast. I have one other story I want to share with you guys on another opportunity, but thanks for doing what you do, and hope to hear some great stories in the future. Bye-bye.
When things happen in a dream that you find out later happened in real life, there's more than just a dream there.
Yeah.
Like if things are, happening at the same time.
That's where you can, that's where you have the clear moments of this is more than just a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody gets that. It's quite often where it's like, I'm not quite sure if this connects to real life or it does not. And when this clearly had those connection points.
Right.
So. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Blue Apron, great stuff, especially, really any time of year. Their menus are changing all the time, and it's very seasonal as well. So you want some good grilling food, you want some good summer type stuff, it is there for you. Convenience-wise, my original point I was thinking of, well, the kids are home from school, and a lot of times the reason my thought process was when the kids are in school, you're still running around working and everything. It's convenient no matter what to have food ready for you.
Right.
It's never super convenient to go to the grocery store, especially, even when you have the kids with you. So Blue Apron, they take care of all that. That's why they're the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Food shows right up on your doorstep. They got two-person meal plans, family meal plans for either two, three, four different recipes a week, even a wine plan as well. Lots of great options there. It's convenient, flexible. If you're going to be on vacation for a week doing a summer trip or something, you just click skip the week and it just skips the week. It's that easy. High quality ingredients. Blue Apron only sends out non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. So it is good stuff. It's delicious. We've been using Blue Apron for years now and absolutely love it. Right now, Blue Apron is teaming up with best-selling cookbook author Chrissy Teigen to bring you some of her favorite recipes to make at home. Get ready for 6 weeks of wildly fun, flavorful cooking featuring recipes like garlic and soy glazed shrimp, charred broccoli and hot green pepper sauce, and sesame chicken noodles with bok choy. Did you mention you don't have to step foot in the grocery store to get any of this? Yeah. Some of the upcoming things for this month on their menu: steak and spicy butter with mashed potatoes and zucchini, blackened ginger pork burgers with Napa cabbage slaw and potato salad, Spanish spiced chicken and rice with peppers and snow peas. It's just, it's good stuff. We look at feta, mozzarella, and fresh tomato pizza with pesto kale salad. There's great options for everybody. This pizza looks good. I was having some feta the other day, and I kind of get on feta kicks where I forget like how much I enjoy feta. Then I get feta, I'm like, ooh, I love feta, and I just start like eating it like compulsively. Anyway, good stuff. Check it out for yourself. And in fact, right now you can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. Just go to blueapron.com/ghost. blueapron.com/ghost. Get yourself those three meals free. blueapron.com/ghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Walter and Tiki calling from Wilmington, Delaware. We want to tell you about a story that happened on Halloween, actually. I'm not sure the beginning of the ritual that my son created, but so I'll let him tell you that part.
I really don't understand why you even call it a ritual, but this is Walter. And I had heard a story about the veil being thin on Halloween night and how supposedly if you were to, like, turn your back or turn around and like have open space behind you, the hairs on the back of your neck are supposed to stand up because your dead loved ones are supposed to be like behind you or whatever, or around you, and your body's supposed to react to it. And you know, I thought it would be a cool, like a little cool experiment to try. And so we're out on the porch of the house I grew up in, and I told a story about that house before, and you guys played it, so I don't know which episode it is, but that house for me is just whatever. But we're on the porch of that house, and we're standing there, and you know, we're trying to get into it, so we're like looking out the windows, and we're like focusing or whatever. We're bringing it down, and I don't know when exactly it got real, but it got real. Like, it got real, really quick. It went from, you know, us hearing, because it's nighttime. It actually wasn't Halloween. Halloween was supposed to, was that, you know, that day.
Oh, it was Mischief Night.
Right. It was Mischief. No, you might as well say it was Halloween because it was 12 o'clock. So it was Halloween, early Halloween morning. And the birds, for me, it just got dead silent. Mm-hmm. And as it got dead silent, there's like an opening into our neighborhood, and from where our house sits, you can look right out into the opening and see like when somebody's coming in. So we're standing there and nothing is happening. No hair on the back of my neck is standing up, but it got extremely quiet.
The wind was blowing and everything stopped.
Right. And then it got dead silent. And all of a sudden, a motorcycle drives into the neighborhood. Now, that's, you wouldn't think anything odd about that. But immediately, the first thing that went off in my mind is the motorcycle was like really old. It wasn't a modern motorcycle, especially for like 2016. It was like an old motorcycle that had, it had the one huge light bulb that sits on the, you know, on the front of it. And it was like an old time motorcycle. It was like something you would see in like, I don't know. Yeah, it was just a really old motorcycle. And as the motorcycle drove in, the lights in the neighborhood, the lanterns that keep the neighborhood lit up, as the motorcycle drove in, I noticed like all of the lights,
all the street lights
started to like, they started to dim. They didn't go out, they just got really dim. And it was almost like as he drove in, he caused like a shadow to fall across the whole neighborhood, really. Birds stopped making noise. I didn't hear any crickets. it just got eerie. And my eyes followed the motorcycle all the way to, like, as far as I could follow him, because he was heading around the corner. And my eyes followed him for as far as I could follow him. And then I just, like, right when it got to the point where he would have disappeared from my vision, I saw the motorcycle stop. And my eyes stayed on the two red lights on the back of the motorcycle. And I just focused on that. And my mom, for some reason, just blurts out, "And there he goes." And I'm looking at her, and I bring my eyes from where the motorcycle is, because I'm trying to see what she's talking about. And the moment I do, it's like my eyes followed all the way back up to, like, maybe six houses down from where we were. And I don't know what this thing was. I do. It was a shadow being. Not the top hat man that I hear a lot of, like, that I've heard listeners talk about, because I've had an experience with that too, the top hat man. But this was a different type of shadow being. It looked like maybe it would have been a regular guy with, like, a low cut, a tank top on, perhaps some jeans, but I could make out no type of no real definitive, you know. Yeah, I couldn't see anything definitive. It was just a shadow. And this shadow is running, like, at breakneck speeds, like faster than any human being would be able to run. He is trucking up the road. Like, the crazy thing is, I wasn't scared, though. I wasn't scared. I was just, like, my eyes were just wide with wonder. Like, is this really happening right now? Like, it happened too fast for you to even be scared. One minute there was nothing there. Next minute, he's driving into the neighborhood, stealing all the lights from the street lamps, casting a shadow over the neighborhood. And then the next thing I know, he's running. He gets right next door. No, I'm going to say next door, the house that's
three
doors down. And to me, it looked like he took a jumping dive and dove down. Like, and in my mind, I don't know what I thought, but I thought, like, he was army crawling. I don't know why I thought that, but that's the impression that I had. Like, he was army crawling up past the next door neighbor, and he was going to come up in front of our gate and just zoom up to the front door. And but he didn't. He was gone.
I didn't get that.
You didn't? That wasn't your impression?
And that's the crazy thing that you would say that, because when I first saw him, because like I said, we followed the bike to where we couldn't see it anymore. And so we were expecting the bike to go around the corner and go out the back opening, which you can still see from the house, because it's two ways into the neighborhood. It's a back way where you wouldn't see them at all, but then you could come in the same way of the main entrance. So I was waiting at the main entrance thinking, okay, we're going to see this bike go out, which we never did. And just all of a sudden, it was like every light went out when the motorcycle disappeared. And as soon as I took my eyes off of the fact that I could no longer see the motorcycle, it was like instant. All I saw was like a dark shadow. Like, it started off walking. So that's what made my attention, like, okay, well, who's this coming around? Because this must be whoever was on that bike. So they must be coming around to go to another neighbor's house. That's what I was thinking. But the first thing that I blurted out was, "And there it goes." I don't know why I said that. I don't know what that was. But all I know, it like, I want to say vampire shimmered. If you ever watch any vampire movies, like True Blood or something, the way that a vampire runs, that's how quickly it was moving. It was like
I know what you're talking about. It's like an echo of the body behind it.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like on Queen of the Damned, when they run and you see that, the echo behind their body, it's like,
that's how it was for me. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, I didn't wait to see anything. I turned around, I was done, the game was off, over. I was just, I was so terrified that night. It just something just did not sit well with me that whole night. I was so terrified. I was scared to even go out for Halloween.
Well, that's another thing about me and my mother. Like, our because my mother's adopted. So when she found her biological family, it comes to find out that, you know, psychic ability runs in our family, like, extremely heavy. Mm-hmm. And, like, we've seen things separately, and we've had experience separately, but the majority of our experiences, the greater ones, like the ones that I really look back on, besides the stuff that has happened to me as a child, the ones I told you guys about in a previous episode, beside those things, the big things have always happened when me and my mom were together. It's like, I don't know. That's
it's
weird.
Almost it's almost like the power of two.
Yeah, it's almost like we feed off of each other. It's kind of strange. That's kind of strange. But I wasn't scared. And to be honest, I wish I had the nerve to stand there and see what he was going
to
do.
To, like, really stand there and,
yeah,
see,
and see what it was
how
gonna
far
do.
You were going to go.
Yeah. Cause
but it was just
it was
so
too much. It was too much.
It was so quick.
It was too much. As fast as he was running, because I didn't see a shimmer or an echo.
I saw
to
it.
Me, it looked like this guy was, you know, he had won the gold in every track race he had ever competed in, because he was literally the fastest thing alive. It was, if you've seen Jeepers Creepers, the second one, when he's running through the field to
it
catch
was
the bus.
It was faster than that.
You must.
Because, like I said, I saw a shimmer. You didn't see what I saw. You just seen him running. But when my eyes focused, it was like that glare behind him, and it was like you were zipping, like you were darting faster than anything I've ever seen. Like, I can't explain it. I don't know what it was, but if anybody does or anybody has seen anything like that, please share. Because I don't know what that was. I can't say if it was a demon, because
it was
in the
shadow
most part,
thing.
It wasn't a fear like, oh my God.
It was almost like you wanted
us.
To see, you wanted to see something, so here it is.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel, maybe it would have felt intimidating if it had gotten to where I think it was trying to get to. Mm-hmm. Because maybe that diving jump that it took, that I thought, it, like the way that it looked like it had dove down, and I thought it was army crawling, maybe it just, like, had sunk into the ground, because at that moment, that's when you pulled away from me. You pulled away from me, and you was like, no, and you were going back into the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe when you yanked away from me, you messed up the connection. Either way, Tony and Jenny, I plan on doing it again. And hopefully it'll work, and hopefully this time her courage will be up.
No, I don't plan on it. I don't plan on that. I don't like seeing things like that.
All right. Well, Tony and Jenny, thanks for listening. I hope to hear this story, and I will eventually call back to tell you my top hat man story.
Okay, I got a couple of them. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Kind of discovering what they will and won't do.
That's great.
Together.
It's pretty rare to have two people that had the same experience on the same call,
yeah,
talking about it and what they saw and the different perspectives.
Sure.
That's funny.
That was interesting. I like that. Oops, didn't mean to start that so soon. No, that, it just sounds like, I don't know if we've had anything quite like that before, where it, like, literally, you know, just kind of sucked the, you know, the light from the light, poles, mm-hmm, and all that, and the energy. It does, you know, kind of reminds me, you know, somewhat slider-ish type things that we've talked about, but a little different.
But usually sliders are living.
Yeah. This was, that was creepy. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because they both saw it, and they both are obviously very adamant about seeing something.
Oh, yeah.
Not right. And the two perspectives of the two people who are right next to each other having the experience, but it can be slightly different than the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's most ghost stories, though.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi. My name is April. I'm calling from Oberlin, Ohio. I'm an EPP member. Love the show, guys. Cool. Thank you so much for doing what you do. But real quick, I had a story that I thought Tony and Jenny, I thought you guys might find it kind of interesting. So my coworker asked me for a ride home tonight because he just got a new house and he shares a car with his roommate. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll take you home. So he's like, hey, you want to see the house? So I was like, okay. He had just moved in Saturday. It's Friday today. So he's lived there roughly 6 days, give or take. So he shows me around the house. Then we go outside and... there's a nice big garage in the back, and he's like, it has a built-in workroom. Do you want to see it? And I was like, sure. And I'm looking around, and you can tell they've got, you know, some of their boxes and storage stuff sitting out there. And on top of one of the boxes, of course, there's a Ouija board. And I'm kind of a goofball. So I look at it, and, like, I walk around, and I start hissing at it jokingly. And my friend was like, you don't like Ouija boards? And I was like, no, not particularly. And the light in the garage went from the normal yellow light that you would have, you know, in a garage, to this really weird luminescent blue. And my friend just starts laughing, and he's like, well, that wasn't weird or anything. And I was like, no, not at all. I'm leaving the garage now. And I was like, please tell me that happens often. You've lived here for 6 days. Please tell me that that's something normal. And he's like, hasn't happened yet. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't like that. And he's like, well, I love my Ouija board. And so I left, and I got my car, getting ready to drive home, and I had seen that my fiance had texted me. So I gave him a call and told him, you know, I was on my way home, and I was telling him about looking at Thorne's new house and how cool it was, or my friend's new house, yeah, Thorne. And here's where it gets really funny. I was like, oh, and guess what he had in his garage? Because my fiance knows that, you know, I love the paranormal, and I've made him listen to your guys' show. He said it's some of the creepiest things that he's ever heard in his life, because he's not, you know, super into the paranormal. Especially there was a Shadow Man one that just drove him insane. We were driving back from Florida, and I was forcing him to listen to the show, and he's like, I don't like it, turn it off. And I was like, oh, guess what Thorne had in his garage? And he was like, what? And I was like, a Ouija board. And before I knew it, my radio in my car, like, at that instance, had went back to just playing radio instead of him talking to me through the car. And I'm like, what just happened? My phone had just hung up, didn't even make that ba-doop end call, or call ended if the other person had. No, it just hung up. And I was like, okay. So then he calls me back. And he's like, what happened? I was like, I don't know. That was really weird. He was like, yeah, I know. And he's like, what were you saying? I was like, oh, Thorne had a Ouija board, and then it cut out again. Like, it didn't hang up, but I couldn't hear him. He couldn't hear me. And he comes back, and he's like, hello? He's like, can you hear me? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, did you hear about Thorne's Ouija board? And then all I just hear is, hello? And he's like, can you hear me now? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I don't know what's going on. I'll just see you at home. And I was like, okay. Love you, too. Bye. And I was just really weird. And I was cracking up, driving home. I'm like, I can't wait to call in, because I thought they'd get a mighty good kick out of that. So thank you so much, guys. Love the show. Bye.
Something definitely didn't want that message conveyed.
Yeah.
That's creepy, because that makes you think something's still with you and didn't stay with the board.
And how often is it going to rear its head? Mm-hmm. How often is it going to let you know that it is still there and still has a message, so to speak, that it wants to get out, or to just be a nuisance?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I think these things can just be, you know, nuisances, but it's still something you don't want to have just kind of hanging around and, you know, being there. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, help us stay on the air. Get every single EPP bonus episode. Ghostpodcast.com is where you go to get all of that. Just log on, $5 a month, get access to all of the bonus material. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.